This product is not yet rated.
BioShock 2 made its debut to the world in Game Informer last April. Spread across the glossy cover was an ominous image of a new face in Rapture, the Big Sister. Her appearance seemed reminiscent of a Big Daddy, but she was definitely something new, and very different from the hulking beasts gamers knew so well from the original BioShock. And while Game Informer did shed some light into who, or what, the Big Sister was, it did not talk about how she came to be. In this, the third episode of the BioShock 2 podcast, we explore exactly that, the Big Sister's progression.
My name's Colin Fix, and I'm the senior character designer on BioShock 2. I'm responsible for a pretty big chunk of the character design for the game, and also, alongside with Jeff, kind of help with the art direction of the characters in the game.
Cool. I'm Jeff Weir, mission supervisor on BioShock 2. I'm in charge of everything character-related, basically, so if it moves or talks or wiggles, that's me.
And I'm PJ Leffelman, and I'm the animation lead, and I'm one step below Jeff.
Oh, that doesn't sound very nice.
If it moves in a little smaller fashion, that's what I take it.
To begin, we started with a simple question. How did the team dream up the Big Sister?
Well, actually,
it was super easy. Yeah. We just did it. Boom. Yeah.
Actually, it was like the first thing that Jordan talked about when we got here was the Big Sister idea.
Yeah, Big Sister is very important to Jordan. And my very, very first day, which a lot of companies usually consist of, sit down, get familiar with your computer, maybe organize a couple files, see if your email's checked up. No, he took me into a room, and you were there. Took Jeff and I into a room. Was like, all right, this is the main character of the game. Blah, 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 blah. Just like started going, and we're like, oh my lord, like this is the first thing we're doing. The first, like, we had just sat down basically, and he was already getting us thinking about this Big Sister character.
Yeah. But it was totally a great way to start because the character was very juicy and very, you know, interesting and different and broken and twisted, and it really sort of took a Big Daddy and made it a lot different, kind of light. You know, it was sort of a fun challenge to start out with. It really was a creative, you know, place to start for the game.
Although the Big Sister may seem, at face value, to be something that would be simple to create, she was anything but that for 2K Marin. Not merely a female Big Daddy, the Big Sister has a very rich backstory. She's not simply a girl gone wrong and strapped into a hulking suit. The challenge presented to the team was this. How do you convey such a story and personality through everything the Big Sister does? Her suit, her body type, her movements, even her sound all played a key role in portraying everything that happened to her and turned her into what she is today. Hitting upon a final product took a lot of collaborative effort, and the team's process, as you can imagine, was very iterative.
Colin did a lot of really awesome thumbnails. You know, like some of them I hope make it into the art book because they're really cool looking. He had like cute ones of like just a little girl pulling a tank with a little mask on her face and a bunch of really fun little like really broad ideas.
A lot of just exploration, thinking of the character as a little sister, thinking of the character as a big daddy, a lot of times when I start my design work, I'll just write down a list of just words. So like some of the words I had were like teenager, angst, female, soft, hard, like, you know, things like that. A lot of descriptive words. Then I start kind of exploring shapes of the character, like, and trying to get things to read like, supposed to look like, so it needs to read as a big daddy, but this character also needs to read as a teenage female. It needs to read as someone who's aggressive, someone who's, you know, been through a lot in their life. So like trying to get these ideas across just kind of mostly in silhouette form. And then we would show them to Jordan and get more discussions going. We would gather a lot of reference. Like we were kind of all sharing reference with each other, different things that kind of felt like the inspired kind of the look of the character. I was thinking a lot early on about greyhounds and whippets and how they're pretty good at like living in like apartments and small spaces because they're always like caged up before races and things like that. So if you come across a dog like this, a lot of times they're very shaky and kind of scared, and they even like the way they carry themselves is kind of everything's kind of pulled inward. But then when it's time to race, they just
They're explosive.
They're explosive. It's just insane how powerful and graceful these characters could be. So that kind of led to...
Yeah, I mean, because basically Jordan... it was all started with this idea of she is unstable grace, which is really oxymoronic thing that I make her to that is graceful and yet awkward at the same time, and that's really the hard challenge that we had with her. And in terms of designs, there were lots of fun things. Like at one point, she had sort of kind of fallen angel kind of feel to her, and like broken wings.
Yeah, I kept talking about like broken wings, like broken bird wings. He's mentioning like that she would need to look like she was scarred somehow, but the scarification have like a beautiful look to it. So yeah, there's a lot of things that he would mention that. Ideas that kind of opposed each other, but if done right, you know, kind of become harmonious.
Yeah. And totally, and having like the idea of her costume being sort of like harshly made, so it felt kind of torn and twisted, and felt like it wasn't like manufactured. It was made sort of like, you know, kind of savagely. You know, like with like brutally.
Jordan's vision of the Big Sister is certainly ambitious, and took the team many rounds to hammer down. The team took this vision of broken grace from watching greyhounds to concept silhouettes to motion capture sessions, all while circling closer to what typified the Big Sister's physical form.
You know, the main thing, of course, the design is the first thing. I mean, like, there are lots of different ways that we use to define a character, right? So Collins mentioned silhouette. Silhouette's the very first kind of key thing that sells what a character is, because it's basically that black and white form that tells you, you know, is she big? Is she small? Is she confident? Is she awkward? You know, but then beyond that, in terms of animation, we also look at silhouette for posing, right? So animation and the animation team did a lot of different ideas for how she would be when she's a passive or when she's aggressive and just how awkward or how, you know, graceful she would be. And that was a lot to work out.
They did a mocap shoot where Jordan was there and kind of directed an actor. And we took that as a base, but heavily modified it. But just kind of took this janky pose that this girl made and kind of used that as her default. And then, like they're saying about the explosive power and stuff like that, like we, and also the oxymoronic description of her, like we would have a really janky pose, but then some really fluid movement that she would do, and then kind of like settle back kind of in an awkward way back to where she was.
Gamers have only seen glimpses of the Big Sister so far. A light in the distance, a quick motion on the corner of the screen, a blur whizzing past before a window shatters and water comes pouring in. Those quick moments do tell a lot about the Big Sister, and the team worked tirelessly to make her movements perfect.
Yeah, it was definitely a meandering path. A lot of talking with Jordan about exactly what he wanted. Because of that whole unstable grace, it was a pretty challenging thing to hit. So the mocap kind of provided us a base for posing and kind of inspiration of what Jordan liked. But as Jeff was saying, ultimately we didn't really use any of it. But I mean, like we looked at like the two things that are coming to mind reference wise were we watched a lot of ballet and then we watched a lot of three-legged dogs. So like those were kind of the two ideas that came together is like, how do we make something really gracefully move and then settle back into this really awkwardness.
Yeah, even that amazing ballet artist, or someone did, you know, that one footage of the one lady who just had this way that she was just beyond grace.
She just walked on her toes in the most uncomfortable way that you could, you know, envision. But she was doing it perfectly, like her, you know, waist is really fluid, and it was just pretty interesting to watch that.
Yeah, and in terms of our process, we're very iterative in how we make animations. So we do a process called dailies where we come in with we'll bring animation up on the big screen and review it together and talk about like, is this in the character, is this not in the character, and we'll push it, you know, one way or the other based upon that. But the process is very kind of collaborative and very, you know it's probably best to look at it and see how it feels, you know, before we, you know, decide. And when it comes down to it, you don't really fully decide until we actually play it in the real game, you know, and seeing how she works everything else. And we change things all the time because there's not if it's not clear, is it not you know, having the right mood, is it not having the right sense of speed or the right, you know, but she has a lot of things that she has to do in the game. She has to be someone that's making you, you know, push on, you know, push forward in the game because she's the primary antagonist. She also needs to be interesting to fight, so she needs to have lots of different abilities to make it fun to fight her, you know, more than one time in the game, unlike, you know, someone, unlike a basic spicer that was more just fodder. And she also needs to just, you know, be, you know, compelling, just even from the standpoint of a bad guy. I mean, she should not be, like, frustrating. She should be someone who you want to see more of and kind of like, excited to fight her again.
Jeff made the capture of the Big Sisters movement sound more straightforward than they actually were. Even the most talented ballet dancer couldn't portray everything that needed to come across when our character cocked her head or dashed across the screen.
And the, you know, like during the session, you know, the lady we have, you know, like we actually didn't really end up using almost any of her actual work in the game, but it was inspirational from the point of view of like she did a lot of kind of cool ballet things when striking really unusual kind of like semi off balance poses, and it really sort of inspired how it looked like. You know, but with that said, you know, like it was very hard because one of the things interesting about her is unlike the Big Daddies from Bioshock 1, she is one. You know, she's one off. There's not multiple Big Sisters. There's this one. So she's a lot more of a, you know, a definable character. So we'd all this reign to push her as far as possible. The only restraints we had was making sure that she was fun to play in that environment.
With that, Jeff brought me back from talking about the artistic exploration of how they brought the Big Sister to life and back to the world of making a game. Because, at the end of the day, that's what we are doing here, and where the character will live, within Bioshock 2. And as one of the key figures to the story, she had to be fun to play against. Terrifying and elusive, and a formidable foe. To create something like that, the team had to go beyond designs and think about the logistics of putting her into the spaces of the video game and making sure she felt at home there.
Like, yeah, initially we had her really, really low to the ground, and she was below the player's eye height.
Yeah.
So we had to end up going back and tweaking that up, but we were able to really push it really far.
Yeah, there's a lot of really weird requirements you have because you're making games. But yeah, I mean, the other challenge for her is that she is more slender, and you know, she's definitely harder to hit this from her form than a Big Daddy is. But yeah, I mean, also the other thing also different about her is, unlike Big Daddy, she's also not neutral. She's always adversarial. She's always against you. She's always threatening, you know. So that kind of helps us define her more towards heading towards that slant in her design as well.
Adversarial. Threatening. Twisted. Grace. Broken. How does a person take all these descriptors and fit them into a Big Daddy suit for a teenage girl?
A lot of it has to do with research and reference. The Big Daddies from the first game were based on old deep sea diving suits. So for her, we gathered a huge amount of reference of old deep sea diving suits. Clearly, a good place to start is looking at the Big Daddies from the first game. So there's a lot of kind of figuring out what makes a Big Daddy a Big Daddy, and trying to make the Big Sister have those elements. So when you look at her at a glance, you think, oh, that's kind of a Big Daddy type character from Bioshock. But at the same time, she needs to, you don't want to look at her and be like, oh, it's another Big Daddy. You want to go, oh, is this a female Big Daddy? This is, you know, we're always trying to, and with all the character designs in the game, we're trying to create contrast. So with the Big Sister, to contrast the Big Daddy, you know, her build is much thinner. Her posing is more dynamic.
A contrast, yes, but more than just a mere foil. As Jeff had already said, the Big Sister was one of a kind. Unlike the Big Daddies who roam the halls of Rapture in large numbers. She had a specific history, and the team had to build that into her structure such that it told a story without hitting you over the head with it.
One of the things we did was this whole idea of you know, trying to build story into her, right? So like in her design, you know, like she's capturing, you know, little sisters. I mean, and girls bring them back, you know, and making them into little sisters. And what we did though is we tried to give like a little bit of softness from that. So that basically came about in terms of you know, we added in little touches like drawings on her tank that little girls would do while they're captured by her, you know, like in this board and sitting in this tank, nothing better to do. So they're sitting there dueling away, and we added like bows that for the, you know, like the girls decorated, you know, the whole cage with. But these are kind of things that we'd like to do in order to give a character a story, just even as when you look at one frame of rig, you can tell there's a story to this character.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we looked at the first game. They're so successful with their visual storytelling within the environments. We wanted to really take that idea and put it on the characters. So yeah, when you look at a still frame of the Big Sister, there's elements there that start you know, getting you thinking, why are there drawings on her? Oh, because little sister's right in the back, and they would do that. And so these are things that kind of help tell the story visually, but also just from a straight character design standpoint, her having the bows on her and the little kid drawings is their points of contrast to her harsh, kind of the metal parts of her armor and her weapons and things like that. So it kind of, and also it helps sell the idea of teenage girl or little girl, little sister, as opposed to just Big Daddy.
That actually, oddly enough, helped the animation. I mean, not any great example of that, but as soon as we put textures on the character, we suddenly felt a lot more attached to her and could kind of come up with movesets that identified a little bit more with her as a girl, as opposed to just some gray model floating in space.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, it's also an important thing with our designs is we want to make sure that the designs have a good level of low frequency detail in comparison to high frequency detail. And basically what that means is you want a design that's overly busy, so that your eye doesn't know where to look. You want a design that's well-balanced between areas of complexity versus areas of simplicity, you know. Like for her, like one of the areas that was good for us to do that on was the tank. You know, the tank was a big open area that we could add a little detail to and have it not be too busy, you know. And it's important that every design have breathing areas and areas of high detail.
Yeah, and you want focal points on your design, areas of interest where you want like a first and a second read where your eye goes first. And it's kind of nice having this character be a cousin of the Big Daddies, basically, from the first game visually, that they had glowing, high saturated colors as their portals. So like, you know, if this character's walking through a dark room, immediately you look at their heads. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice. We already had that taken care of, you know. One of the first reads of her is going to be, you're going to look at her head, which is where ideally you want to look at a character is their mm-hmm. face. When you're interacting with other humans, you look at their face to try to, you know, get little cues from them as to what their intent is. So with character design, you typically want to lead the eye toward character's face and hands.
And the cool thing, I mean, even just from a basic standpoint, I'm happy that we created a design that looks ominous and threatening without going to cliches of being overly pointy.
The guys again switched back from talking solely about art and design and into how these decisions were affected by gameplay, a natural transition for them. They talked about space and composition, telling stories, and directing the player's eye to important areas on the Big Sister's body. I was interested in one particular focal point, the Big Sister's helmet. Big Daddies in BioShock came in two varieties, the Bouncer and the Rosie. The first had a large globe helmet with many lights, and the second echoed the look of a more traditional diving helmet with a single porthole. The Big Sister's helmet, however, is a large sphere with a glaring red light. While it feels very at home next to a Bouncer or Rosie helmet, it also is very different and distinct from those first two designs, and I inquired about how the team struck upon that balance.
A lot of thumbnails and different iterations, just me and Jeff and Jordan just going over it. Well, this looks too much like Bouncer. This looks too much like Rosie. This looks too much like a standard deep sea diving suit and doesn't feel special. So turning out a lot of different looks and trying to figure out what worked best. And one of the ideas was that she's essentially basically pilfered a bunch of Big Daddy suits and kind of used those to make her own costume. So the idea is that it's kind of like a lot of the parts were too big for a teenage girl to wear. So they would be sawed off and kind of repurposed and cobbled together. So and just kind of personality wise, she's sort of twisted, sad soul. So we want a lot of the look to have nothing on her was to be symmetrical. Mm. Constantly we're wanting things to be off kilter. So with her helmet, like she does have the main portal, which is kind of again like the first read, but then she has some smaller ones that are their size is sort of random and again not symmetrical. It's asymmetrical in design.
And those, actually those smaller ones also give her kind of an insectoid look to her, which makes her feel a little bit more sort of alien and not really belong in this world. And is another tool for making her feel a little bit more ominous and threatening.
The Bouncer is probably, the Rosie design is awesome, but the Bouncer design kind of seems to be a little more iconic And when people think of BioShock, they tend to think of the bouncer more. So kind of having the multiple portals kind of was echoing that idea.
And she actually has an extra little Oculus that comes that can come down over her face, which we haven't implemented too much yet. But it's really kind of cool that, this idea that she could be seeing you from afar and always be sort of always watching, you know, and manipulating.
I wanted to add an extra element, like an extra tool for the animators to be able to use, although, again, we haven't really been able to use it quite yet. But, you know, the idea is, like, if you have somebody's face, you have their eyebrows, their eyes, or, you know, their mouth can make facial expressions. But having a deep-sea diving helmet, there's not too much you can do animation-wise with that. So I added that extra Oculus. So, you know, it could, like, maybe if she gets angry or something, it could, like, slam down real quick. Or if she's curious about something, maybe it would come up. Or kind of mimicking an eye or an eyebrow or something like that.
On that note, though, you know, my favorite thing about her versus the other Big Daddies are she has a head. The Big Daddies are just kind of one giant torso, and the Big Sister, it can't move that much, but there's enough articulation that you can do subtle head tweaks and stuff like that where you can kind of tell what she's thinking.
Yeah. Right. All in all, yes, she's a lot more dynamic and more expressive than a standard Big Daddy is. He's not the lumbering oaf kind of character. But one thing we didn't talk about at all was her weapons. And she wields, one of the hands is basically sort of modified, all grown up now, gatherer gun, you know, that has a big old syringe at the end and the vial of Adam at the end. And that she has that in one arm for siphoning off, you know, stuff from even live splicers as they get, you know, torn in agony. And on their side, she wields an undersea weapon, a spear gun, on their side, which makes sense for her because she is, you know, aquatic, you know, just like how you are able to go underwater, she is.
My final question dealt with perhaps the most important aspect of the Big Sister, at least to a gamer who has to face off against her weapons. Her arsenal is another area that is still veiled in mystery, and so I am only allowed to let them scratch the surface of what she carries. Still, we've all seen, no doubt, the huge metal syringe on her arm, and I definitely needed to know how they had designed it.
Well, early on, I don't know if we were completely clear on what her weapon set would be. It's sort of that's kind of more on the game design end of things. So, for a while, I just had the idea that she would be able to switch out different weapons. So she has those little knobs on her gauntlet, basically. So the idea was she could twist them, pull out different weapons, put different ones in. So originally she had sort of like a rifle with a bayonet on it. But as gameplay was coming together and things were becoming more clear as to what her function was in the world, then it was decided that it definitely needed to be an Adam syringe. And so it seemed, since a lot of her character visually is Big Daddy, we felt like the other part needed to be Little Sister. So there, you know, we could have come up with like a whole new design for the syringe or whatever, but more or less it's the Little Sister syringe from the first game, because it helps add to that idea of Big Daddy, Little Sister kind of within the one character. So that's pretty much the idea behind the syringe visually on her. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to tie back to the Little Sister.
The Big Sister was conceived inside the head of Jordan Thomas and brought to life on paper in mocap studios and on the monitors within 2K Marin. Her story is already written, but the team is still perfecting how we, the gamer, will end up seeing that story play out on our screens when BioShock 2 is released. One part Little Sister, another Big Daddy, and a lot of something new, unique, and terrifying, the Big Sister's journey to completion was a holistic project to not convey just a scary video game nemesis, but a living, breathing being that had a past, present, and future we will all soon get to play. I'm Elizabeth Toby, Community Manager at 2K. I'll see you next time for our fourth episode of the BioShock 2 podcast series, where we'll be talking about the multiplayer experience. Thanks for listening.